our faith or in our ability to trust our lives. We need sometimes to have things happen in our lives so we can begin to rely on the fact that life is good, it is secure, we are safe. You know, we're here for a purpose, no matter what happens to us. In the bottom line, it is for our expansion and our higher good. It's only our perception of events that make it scary or feel like we're going to die from it or whatever. So when you're young, you'll have experiences that you maybe pray for something and it happens for you, or you have like the Bell's palsy experience, and I truly don't understand what I did or what spirit did through me that helped turn that around, but I know medicine said it couldn't be done, and it did shift. That was a tremendous increase in faith for me. Then I knew that I could go forward into my life, whatever that was. Do any of you have any questions at this point? I meant to ask that earlier and I forgot. If anybody does, just jump in there, it's okay. So, talking about growing right where we are, I want to mention briefly that I think one of the greatest spiritual paths available to us on the planet is to be conscious parents to our children, if we choose to have children. There is no greater gift or greater legacy that you can leave the planet and our descendants than to give them a concept of wholeness, that life is good and rich, and there is much work to do here, but there's also lots of time to play and lots of time to relax, have fun. That life needs to be a balance spiritually, emotionally, mentally, and physically. That probably has been also, I've had a lot of great teaching, but that's also been a really big one. I have a pretty strong work ethic, and I have a mind that can get kind of run down or depressed. And so I have to know when I'm at my limit and plug in something else that lifts my spirit, you know, and expands my heart again. It's really important to understand that for each of us. So conscious parents, if they will give their children a worldly education but incorporate the spiritual as well, that's what we need in our future. We need young people who will nurture this great garden that we live on. We've left them an enormous mess, you know. They are going to be cleaning it up. Those of us who began to awaken in the 60s saw part of what we needed to do, but there's so much work left. So teaching them in our homes about conserving and caring for and recycling, all those little things, build a consciousness that they then carry out into their life, into their character development. It's extremely important work. I wanted to just mention with you briefly, I know two children, there are a lot of children coming into the planet now that are bringing this real awareness with them, plugged in. It doesn't need to be remembered or awakened, it's present. And there's one little one that's, I guess, in fourth grade, very, very bright little boy, and they have tested him, and he's not able to be tested. He's kind of off the scale in that regard. Has told people since he was able to speak of their past lives and what he sees around them. And extremely creative, bright individual. Doesn't even look like we think of children normally, very pale. And I'm talking about Michael, honey. You probably know who I'm talking about. He has alabaster skin. He moves differently in his body than I've seen little boys move. He's trying to be a little boy at this point because he's in fourth grade, but he's so different. He has a very intuitive mother, and she's put him in a special school that's really helpful, I think. But that's one example. The other that I know of is the granddaughter of a very good friend of mine, Her name is Cordelia. I just love that name. And she's only two, and she looks like Cordelia. I mean, she has these enormously blue eyes, very, very large eyes, and this yummy blonde hair and lovely little round body. She's just gorgeous. And this child also, since she was able to speak, is telling her parents about her past experiences, how she waited and waited for them to say yes to her so she could come and be their little girl. It's just, it's absolutely lovely. And she has remembered where she lived before on the planet and who her parents were then, and has told her mother and dad all the stuff. Her parents, luckily, are awakened parents, and the grandmother has been in metaphysics for at least 20, 30, 40 years. So she's been able to be a real support and to hear this child. And her dreams, you know, she remembers 5 and 6 dreams a night and tells her parents what she did when she leaves her body at night and where she goes. I go back home, you know, to play with. So 2 years old, yes, it's very verbal, incredibly verbal. I just think all of her, all the stuff that we think in normal development in children is so accelerated. These are just 2 examples. I've heard of many more. So you are going to be hearing about this as we move into the next century. Those of us who become grandparents will probably have some of those children. All right. Do you want to share a little bit? Yes. Yes.
On the ground, and she continued saying sentences mostly in love.
Wonderful.
And I always had a crystal bag full of crystals. And last time I was there, she didn't know about it. And she came up and started pulling at my clothes. She pulled open the bag, and she pulled out these 2 crystals. She had them, they were a little bit too much for her, but she had them in both hands, and she was going, pretty, 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 pretty.
Ah!
Pretty. She had to, like, take them out of her hands.
Before she started flying.
Yeah, it was really, I had witnesses to the I love you and all the other things, so
yes.
I really did almost drop her out.
I bet.
We have a lot of really objects in our house, but I don't like to use the word power objects, but they're very full.
They hold a lot of energy, yeah.
All that energy. And last time she was over, the time before, she went and she wanted us to take her to every one of them. She played with every one of them.
I'm hearing that a lot about mothers with girl children. Such a strong will, even as an infant, you know, so focused. And for these mothers who thought they were going to get a cutesy, sweet little baby, you know. Yeah, you've got to stay really focused. And that's part of the being conscious as a parent. You have to stay aware, because teaching moments will come up. And also for you, our children teach us so much.
Well, we did a baby lesson
for her. Oh, good.
And Dennis did the type ceremony and we were there the next month. And we did the blessing on her and her brother, and we put her down, and she crawled over. She took the evil feather, crawled it over her part, and then began to grant her into his part.
Oh, my gosh. How beautiful.
Well, you're a goner.
That was
that. And she went to go right over and it was all right to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so she's
so much. I bet. That's wonderful. Oh, thanks for sharing that. Yeah, that just exemplifies what I'm talking about. I have memories from the time I was learning to walk and stuff like that. I remember feeling so constricted in this body. I wanted to be able to speak clearly, but I didn't bring that one with me, apparently, because I couldn't as a toddler or as an infant. I couldn't. And knowing that if I could just get the body to work right, you know, and working hard at all of that. And that's what most of us go through, but I believe that has shifted. The evolutionary thing that's happening in our DNA has accelerated to such an extent that children are going to come in with more of these things, like speech and probably physical movement and far memory. You know, it will be there. They won't have to wait or, you know, let it pop in and out, and then finally it's developed, that kind of thing. It's very exciting. Very exciting, I think. One of the things that I think is so important, I think I've already mentioned this, but it's just really vital to create quiet time in your daily life. If not daily, then at least to begin once a week, where you can just reflect, just breathe, just sit, you know, and be still, listening to some music or being out in a place in nature. If I didn't have my gardens at home, which are literally my sanctuary, my healing place, I need that after I do some deep work with a client. Or we've had a lot of things happening around the family lately, some of which have been very intense. And I just need that. Nature is the greatest of healers. And I'll just go out, you know, and sit under a tree or putter around in the yard. It brings me back to my center. When I'm completely out of balance or off my seat, if I can get into nature, I know I'm safe. I know I'm going to come back fully present. So meditation, prayer time. If you remember your dreams, it's really important to just review that. Wake up a few seconds and review that in the morning. You might not remember it fully, but the more you work with that, the more you awaken the spiritual component that really wants to be there for you. The dreams are your soul speaking to you, giving you warnings, giving you information about what's upcoming, telling you how your creativity needs to be amplified or how to kind of bring something else into balance. My husband and I have a daughter that's going to be 24 this summer, and she's trying to make some big decisions about her life and her career. And she came home for Memorial Day weekend, and she had said she'd been having all these awful dreams, you know. So we shared some at breakfast, which is a common thing that we've kind of done off and on through our life. And what I saw through the dreams was a pattern of, yeah, all this stuff is happening, but look what's supporting you. Look what you have, you know. Just trust your life. You are going to figure this out. That it was just very clear there. So being able to articulate that to her helped her, I think, a little bit to recognize that, oh yeah, it's just speaking very loudly to me right now, but it's okay, you know. And this is really true of people who have scary dreams. You have to learn to interpret your own symbols or work with someone like me who seems to have some capacity. It's really audacious to interpret another's dreams, I think. But I can share what my perceptions are, and they can say, well, no, that doesn't feel it. I think it's this, you know, or whatever. Or, oh, I'll think about that. They can play with it a little bit. So the dream work is powerful. It's extremely, extremely important. It is that spiritual part of yourself speaking to you. And then I want to wind up with reminding you that you have, besides your inner guidance or that God within, you have your own guides, you have your guardian angel, you have the whole hierarchy of angelic beings who love us, who you know, support us all the time. They honor our free will. We have our ancestors, you know, all those great family beings who lived on this planet before us, and who see what we are striving to do, how we want to awaken. If they're available, they assist us as well. My grandma Taylor comes in all the time to assist me. And one time, I didn't feel that I had a real deep connection to my grandma Schwartz. But my husband and I went to Santa Barbara once and saw an English medium, a very interesting person. And he immediately identified my husband's Scottish grandmother, who I only met once or twice in my life before she passed over. But she has helped me tremendously with hormonal changes. She's just like the salt of the earth, and she comes in and speaks. You can't miss that presence that she has. And then I went with a girlfriend back to see the same medium in Santa Barbara one time, and he just pegged Bert's father to a T. He said, he's right beside you, and he began to describe this person, what he looked like, and it was his father. And Bert's dad, great guy, very strong physical all his life until he was kind of struck down, great shock, and very in your face with his judgments and his pronouncements and, you know, all the stuff. I just loved him, great storyteller. But this man told me that he wants to know what you're talking about. He comes to your classes. It was wonderful. He used to come in dreams all the time and tell me how he missed us. And, you know, he kind of wanted to come back, so I would do some work to help him go on, that kind of thing. My Grandma Schwartz also showed up at that session. I thought I had no connection with her. But he said very clearly, goes, now there's some woman here called Clara, and she's showing up in a pretty big body, and she's just so anxious to talk to you. And it just sounded just exactly like her, but I couldn't think Clara. I never knew her as Clara. I only knew her as Grandma Schwartz. So I'm thinking, who the heck is Clara? And tell me a little more. And he keeps telling this woman, says, well, she's telling me to remind you about this time when she gave you coffee as a little girl and you really hated it, and she said it would make you strong or something. And that was her. I knew right away it was Grandma Schwartz. That was astounding to me. And she brings an incredible strength to me when I'm feeling like I'm overloaded and I can't go on. This German woman shows up who could lambaste anything and anybody, you know, can-do attitude all the way. So you have that available to you to support you. And I always ask, if it's in your highest good, send me the light, send me an energy, send me clarity, whatever, send me focus, you know. Because some of them do need to go on and do their own work in the heaven world. And it's not right of us to keep them here by moaning and groaning about missing them and all that stuff all the time. But they really can assist us if it's in their highest good, if we ask. That's my perception anyway. Angels in particular honor humans' free will, so you have to ask. You know, and then you have to be willing to be open to the assistance that they send, which comes in ways known and unknown to us. So what you think might be help sometimes or might not be your help is what you needed and what you asked for. So you have to be aware and open. So, and finally, I want to mention that one of the other things the great master Jesus said was, if you do it to the least of my brethren, you do it to me. And I believe, again, he's talking about that continuity, that connectedness, that oneness of all life. If we harm one another, we harm all, you know. And I'm speaking of all kingdoms on the planet, humans, plants, animals, and the rock people, too, all of those. And then I have a quote from Carolyn Mace that I want to share with you. And I just think she nails this. This is so true. She said this so strongly at this conference that I was at. She said, it's the order of your spirit in the midst of chaos that matters, not whether your life is in perfect order and chaos-free. And I thought, yes, ma'am, that is the truth. It's the order of your spirit in the midst of chaos that matters, not whether your life is in perfect order and chaos-free. We're not here to live a free, easygoing life. That's a fantasy, a myth. No. We're here to love and assist one another, do the work that brings that foremost into this world. Oh, yes.
I was like, and my daughter was like trying to grab them, and then I think I got it.
I've had earrings explode off of me.
I was so excited. She's wonderful.
She's really for our time. I really like her a lot. I highly recommend her Anatomy of the Spirit. And what's the other one? Oh, Why People Don't Heal and How They Can. some of the work that she does is bringing in the astrological ages, the Aries, Pisces, and now we're entering Aquarius. Aries was the age of the tribe in consciousness. Pisces was the age of personal development, more or less. And Aquarius will be the age more of a unified, heart-centered consciousness, a holistic approach to all life. And she also does a wonderful correspondence between the seven sacraments in the Catholic Church, the seven sephirah on the Kabbalah, the tree of life, and the seven sacred centers on the spine and the human body. And I've seen that connection myself, but I've never articulated it the way she does. She's really got it beautifully drawn out. So I really recommend that. And I think there's more to come, because there are other systems. Seven is such a sacred number. There are other systems with that number as well that we'll probably be hearing more about. Any questions? I want to take us through a little guided reverie before we really finish this evening. But if anyone has any, yes, Paul.
It's kind of a big question. I mean, you can't answer it. It's a short answer, but if you talk about these kids who come in and they're just totally aware of who they are,
yeah.
What if there's people like me who have no clue who they are?
Then they come in to teach us sometimes, I think, yes. Yeah. I've always, when I was raising our children, that's right, I just asked, give me the wisdom, you know, my daughter in particular, and I remember this with our son as well, they both went through these spurts where they just passed me and left me in the dust. I was into my control issues and trying to keep everything, you know, the way I was used to it, and they were just going by like, you know, nobody's business. And I would say, you know, give me the wisdom to hear them, to hear through the behavior, which really what you have to do. You have to look into the heart of your children. And you as parents can see their potential, but we're too close sometimes. So when they get into their behavioral stuff, you know, it's the hardest. That's when you're called on to awaken your heart to a deeper level and take a deeper look at what's going on. You know, then your intellect tells you what's going on. Well, what are they really talking about when they say such and so? Kirsten in particular, but I think Scott as well, they both gave me so many opportunities to talk about drugs, relationship, death and dying. We used to have a little class that I would do once a month where the teenagers would just come, and it was like no format. They could just ask a question about anything. There were no taboos, and sometimes they wanted me to do something specific, but usually we would evolve into just talking about stuff. And the feedback I got from that was how helpful it was. I mean, I think I was probably different in a lot of ways from their parents, but the thing was, I was trying to hear them. I didn't do a great job of it all the time. You know, I misunderstood or misinterpreted, but children are really so forgiving. Except when it's your own kids. You know, then they want their parents to be, and I think that's one of the hardest things. They want their parents to be their image of what a parent should be, which you cannot be. You don't build character that way. You know, you can't teach them about honoring men or honoring women or honoring nature. Boundaries, another major issue with kids. You know, you can't teach them those things unless you have that in place or you're learning it rapidly as they grow, which I did a lot of that, and I'm sure all parents go through that. There's no school for parents. Most of us don't come from families that had ideal parenting. You know, we have to reparent ourselves as we're parenting our children. I know I did. So it is a matter of staying as conscious as you can. That means you've got to have time for yourself to rebuild, you know, so you aren't always giving out and there's nothing left. Even when my kids were small, I had like my 15 minutes of quiet time. I had to have it. I would go in the bedroom, Bert would be at work, I would turn on the kitchen timer, and they'd go, oh no, you know. And I'd say, now you can't knock on the door, you cannot come in until the timer goes off, then you can come and get me. And it took them a while, but I trained them to be able to do that, and they honored that. They could see this was important to me. I felt happy when I came out. I wasn't this grumpy, worn-out thing that had gone into the bedroom, you know. So I've, for parents especially, when I counsel mothers and I see they're trying to work and they're trying to keep a house beautiful, you know, and they've got animals and they have the husband and they have three kids, and it's not possible to do that in a balanced way unless you give yourself permission to honor yourself. It's really, really important for husbands and wives to do that. And I don't know if that helps, Paul, but it's a vast question, like you say.
You open up your heart and your home and you're going to feel it. You know, I think that's on the world. You know, it doesn't have to be some great worldwide. I mean, this is, we're kind of the people you affect it by being open and loving and sure with her. And that's a miracle.
You would like God to come down and write it on the tablets. I used to have that feeling. I've said many times, if only you would just show up. You know, I'm having a hard time remembering. I know I have this commitment, but I'm having a hard time remembering what it is. So, but I think that's part of the mystery, you know, the great mystery that we live. He gave us free will. And he, she will not coerce us into remembering the way home. We have as much time as we need. Much time as we need. Yes. 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 If you haven't integrated it in your life, you definitely see it. A lot of people, in fact, I would say most people, go through a life review. If they aren't reviewing events in their life as they live their life, you go through that after the first dawning of the clear light. If you do not merge, you go into a life review where you see in intimate detail every single event and you feel it and remember it all. You have the experience within your being while you are reviewing it. And so, yes, you get it on a very deep level. So, like for myself, I can look back and friends and things, questions about all that I haven't resolved, that will be clear when I re-experience that. Or I may get clarity on it as I continue to grow this lifetime. But the angels of death are there to help us in understanding and seeing what we did in our lives. So many of us are so hard on ourselves. We don't appreciate or value what we've done. And I often, you know, people tell me all the time, thank you so much. I don't often see what it is that I did. But I think I will understand when I get to see that, you know, later when I pass over. And the thing that I care about the most is the quality of love that I share with others, the support that I can give others, that life is worth living, you know. A relationship, you love this person, it's worth fighting for that. You love your children, it's worth putting aside your own selfish whatever it is and reach out, you know, or to a parent or whatever. A lot of that's still going on. So what you're doing right in your ordinary life is absolutely valuable. And when you add up all those ordinary lives, you begin to have an awakened humanity if we live in a conscious way. Day to day, as much as we're able. Just have to get up and try it again, you know, every day. Yes, give example. That's right. That's what our young people need, you know. They don't have families, so they're creating their own through the process of gangs and other groups. And Carolyn Mace sees that very clearly, and she's done some work with the gangs in Chicago and some other places. She is absolutely fearless. I mean, she's a very small woman. She's maybe 5'1", you know, but she has a very great spirit, very large energy, and those kids can really feel it. So.